Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. I'm your instructor, Myron Boffman. This is the Life of Christ class. And today we'll be looking at the lesson concerning Lazarus. This is found in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. The thing actually takes the whole chapter, but we're not going to have time to do the entire chapter. Matter of fact, the lesson is quite long, so we're going to have to abbreviate several places here that would be nice if I could cover, but nevertheless, we'll do what we can with the time we have. John chapter 11, if you would turn there, please. We're glad you're here. We're glad you enjoy studying God's Word. And may this time we spend together be a blessing to you all. Now, let me just say before we get started that it is no small coincidence that the one raised from the dead had the same name as the one who died in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this is the man that was raised from the dead that brought home the point to the Pharisees, and they could not even believe, as seen in Luke chapter 16, verse 31. They were not believing the word of God. They refused to believe it, even though someone was raised from the dead, or arose from the grave. Upon Christ's resurrection, the religious crowd still clung to their unbelief and continued to suppress the truth. These people, and there are many of even today, who are religious but lost. Those who continue to choose their own way of thinking in opposition to the truth are doomed to their own self-destruction. Now, the events covered in this chapter took place in Bethany, the hometown of the two sisters, Mary, Martha, and of course, their brother, Lazarus. And this was not far from Jerusalem. You might see also another incident concerning Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, in which you remember she was much cumbered about in the serving a meal to Christ. She was cumbered about much. Now, the Mary in this event that we're talking about today is not the same as the one that appears in Luke chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. That's not the same one. Since the gospel writers never reference another gospel writer. That's an important point. This is not to be confused with this town that were taking place here, Bethesda, or Bethany, excuse me. Bethany is not to be confused. And here I am confusing it, right? Okay. Bethany is not to be confused with Bethesda, B-E-T-H-S-A-I-D-A, or Bethesda. The hometown of Peter and Andrew, according to John chapter 1, verse 44. If you recall from the last lesson, Jesus was in Perea, capital P-E-R-E-A, which is an area to the east of the Jordan River. For that, back up up into the chapter before this, let's see John chapter 10, verse 40. Now he, that is Jesus, was making his way back to the Jerusalem area when this occurred, when the events of this chapter occurred. It also must be noted that this miracle is only recorded by John. The raising of Lazarus is only recorded by John. Now this is probably because the other gospel writers concerned their writings with Jesus' ministry in Galilee and what we consider the Samaria area, and didn't write much about Jerusalem the events in Jerusalem until the very last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, John, in contrast to that, John wrote about Jesus' earthly ministry in Jerusalem and in Perea, for the most part. The area in Perea is the area where John the Baptist baptized and had much of his ministry. Due to the harshness of the hatred by the Pharisees, it is thought that this story, the one about Lazarus, was only written later by John after Lazarus had finally passed away. The Gospel of John was the last to be written. The first books to be written in the New Testament were the letters of Paul. Then Peter and Paul were both martyred in the 60s AD, about early to mid-60s, which prompted the publishing of the stories of Christ by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then finally John. The Gospel of Mark was probably composed in the 70s AD, followed by Matthew and Luke in the 80s AD, and John was, of course, last in writing his Gospel, which was mid-80s to maybe early 90s AD, which would imply from this theory that Lazarus lived all the way up to that time, late 80s, possibly early 90s. All right. And this event occurred back in 30, 31, 32 AD. Anyways, let's look at John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. We're going to read it and then comment briefly on it. Quote, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him," that is Jesus, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spake of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. End quote. The home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was made up of no husband and wife, which leads to the conclusion that these were adults, that is, two sisters and a brother, living in the home of their parents who had passed away. The sisters sent a messenger to Jesus as he tarried in Perea beyond the Jordan, that their brother Lazarus was sick. Though God knows all our wants and needs and griefs and cares, he will know them from us and is honored by our laying them before him. The message they sent was very short, not petitioning, much less prescribing or pressing, but barely relating the case with the tender insinuation of a powerful plea. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They do not say, he whom we love, but he whom thou lovest, that is present and continuing. Our greatest encouragements and prayer come from God himself and from his grace. They do not say, Lord, behold, he who loveth thee, but he whom thou lovest, for herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. Our love to him is not worth speaking about, but his love to us we can never speak enough of. The phrase, quote, the sickness is not unto death, end quote, is not a lie by Jesus, because he further explains that the sickness is not for the purpose of Lazarus' death, but for the glorifying of God. The body's death to this world is the soul's birth into another world. A Christian dying in Christ's love is glorious because his soul is received into glory. The afflictions of the saints are designed for the glory of God, that he may have opportunity of showing them favor for the sweetest mercies, and the most affecting are those which are occasioned by trouble. Let this reconcile us to the darkest dispensations of providence, that they are all for the glory of God. This sickness, this loss, or this disappointment is so, and if God be glorified, we ought to be satisfied. His strength is made in perfect in our weakness. These are things that teach the saints patience and great virtue. Also, it must be pointed out that Jesus is not here teaching soul sleep, as several of the cults would have us believe. His words, referring to Lazarus sleeping, makes us realize that he, that is Jesus, has the power to wake us from the dead as easily as if waking someone from sleep. Indeed, this story is a great illustration of the great resurrection day to come. He will speak the word, and the graves will fly open, and all shall come forth, no matter where they have fallen. There is no soul sleep, as demonstrated by the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and found himself in hell. See Luke chapter 16, verse 22. Notice the difference in the two. Quote, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. being in torments. End quote. So, upon death, the saint is carried to fellowship in heaven by God's angels that come for him or her. The lost are buried and find themselves in a world of torment with no mercy or no comfort. There is no rest in hell. Going through a tunnel to a bright light is never found in the Bible. We instead are brought to the bright light of glory by the angels. Apparently, the disciples didn't understand that Jesus spoke of Lazarus' death in that he had to plainly tell them that Lazarus was dead. Verse 16 may be a bit confusing, so let's look at it before we move on. Quote, "Then said Thomas," which is called Didymus. The word Didymus means twin. "Then said Thomas," which is called Didymus, "unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him." End quote. This doesn't mean that they were going to die with Lazarus, but with Jesus. If you remember in verse 8, which we have read, the Jews sought to stone Jesus. If Jesus went into that area, he may be stoned to death. So, likewise, his disciples would be included in the stoning. Let's look at verses 17 through 26. Quote, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary, or Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" End quote. Martha rather objected to Jesus that he had he been quicker in getting to their house, her brother wouldn't have died. Excuse me. We often do not know why our prayers are not answered immediately, but it is left up to us to trust God. He knows what is best, and it is left up to us to have faith in him, no matter what. Verses 32 through 44. Quote, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Then he saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. End quote. There can be much be said about this, picturing salvation. We are dead in our sin, and Jesus comes and calls us out of the grave, and we are alive again, and we are loosed to live. A few details here. 15 furlongs is about 2 miles. It appears that Lazarus died the moment that Jesus had spoken the words, quote, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, end quote. Jesus abode in Aporia for 2 days, and it took 2 days for him to get to Lazarus's grave. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and corruption had already begun of the body. The mourners arriving to comfort Martha and Mary would indicate that the family had some social status in the community. Jesus here demonstrated what he said. He is indeed the resurrection and the life. Now, the important point here is, he asks us to take his word for it, as he did Martha. Believest, the EST at the end is present and continuing. Believest thou this? Also, let us notice that Jesus has compassion for our needs, as demonstrated here, and that he acts lovingly towards those needs. The resurrection of the just is described as being one with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and is termed the first resurrection. Blessed are they who are in the first resurrection. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. The guarantee of our resurrection is found in Christ's resurrection. The resurrection will occur at the last trump, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Excuse me. An event that proves that this will happen, the resurrection, has been just covered in this lesson. May we all take comfort in the fact that our souls lie safely in his hands. Are there any questions concerning the lesson? Anybody? Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank thee now for this
thy word, how that it is pure and perfect. We ask that you'll teach us the truths found here. May your Holy Spirit search our hearts and minds, cleanse our minds, and that we might be good servants of thine. Teach us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to have a greater faith and a greater love and a greater hope in thee and in the resurrection that is taught here in this passage, that we will be the part of the first resurrection. We pray that for the lost in our families, that they will join us in the salvation that you speak about. And we pray now that you will cause us to be good witnesses of thine, that we'll be faithful in teaching thy word, both in word and deed. We ask now that you'll build your church, and we ask you'll strengthen each member, and that we might honor and glorify thee here on this earth while it is yet day. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who has died for us. Amen.